It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And briefly, over the last week, my notes this time of year, you know, it's tough to find encouraging signs of spring. One of the signs of spring that I'm hearing is the great horned owl. And the great horned owl has been calling, or there are two, they have been calling back and forth to one another for the last month. And in the last week, it has been a daily occurrence. Now, it doesn't happen in the daylight very often. It's mostly like I might hear them this late in the morning, but usually it's in the 6 o'clock hour, and then at night, right after sunset, they're out and they're talking to one another. And all of that has to do with their getting ready to nest, and they will be nesting here in probably in February, and they will get their young started. It takes 3 months for the little baby owlets to fledge, so they have to get started pretty early because they've got a lot of work in front of them. So the great horned owls are calling. A note about some new snow over the week. Last Thursday, Friday, or was it Wednesday, Thursday, we had a couple of inches of snow, and mostly that was the result of this cold weather that has moved in. During this cold weather, I had minus 27 for a low at my house. This wintertime season, you know, it's cold, but we're coming up on Groundhog's Day, and that is the halfway point between the solstice and the equinox. And so the sun is rising earlier every day, setting later, and it is at a higher angle. And it will soon begin to have an effect on the snow. And if you check out the south sides of trees, if you look at especially trunks that are dark, you will see the snow beginning to melt away from them. Even in these cold temperatures, the snow will begin to be affected by that high temperature, so or that intense sunlight. Even though the temperature isn't that high, the sun will definitely start having an effect on the snow. Snowbanks, you know, they're going to start to melt, especially wherever there's a little dark spot in there. If the plow has picked up some dirt and shoved it up in the snowbank, where those are exposed to sunlight, they're going to melt. You're going to see little icicles forming. We call those icicles dragon's teeth. And you can find them. We've been finding them, the students and I have been finding them over the last couple of weeks in the snowbanks around the schools in Cohasset and in Grand Rapids. So check those out. The action there is the result of something called albedo. And albedo is simply how much of the incoming sunlight is absorbed and turned into radiant energy, heat, and how much is reflected back. And something like the white snow has a very low albedo, and a lot of the sunlight that hits it is simply reflected back into space. If you have something like a dark tree or a bit of dirt in a snowbank, or the trunk of a tree that is exposed to sunlight, that absorbs a lot of that incoming radiation and warms up. And as a result, it's going to change the snow. And if you are out there paying attention, you're going to see that kind of thing happening. Around the bird feeder this past week, goldfinches, pileated, downy, hairy woodpeckers, red-bellied woodpecker, both the red and white-breasted nuthatches, chickadees, lots of birds coming in and feeding. The blue jays, of course, are there pretty often. I had an email from a listener in Bemidji, Dave, and Dave sent along a question about the blue jays. talked to Laura Erickson about Blue Jays, and she said that that oftentimes they concentrate on areas where they have been able to store a lot of food. So if the Blue Jays seem to be staying in your neighborhood, oftentimes those are non-migratory and they are just simply there because they were able to store a lot of food last fall, and they're using that food as a source for energy during the winter. Of course, a bird feeder is just like storing food, except it gets replenished every day. So the 7 to 10 Blue Jays that I have at my feeder are pretty steady and appear to be quite comfortable spending the winter here. They do migrate, as I said, but oftentimes if the conditions are right, they're going to stay right where they're at. January 29th, I had my first temperature below 20 degrees, minus 20 for the year. I haven't, I guess I had minus 23 back in December, but this was minus 25. And then I followed that up on the 30th with a minus 27. So got pretty darn cold there for a while, and we'll see a bit more of that. Speaking of cold, Rob Vinette is going to join us in 2 weeks on the 14th of February, and we're going to talk about cold hardiness as regards invasive species, plants and animals, and what cold weather it can do for and to them. So that's coming up in 2 weeks, and you can kind of set yourself up for that program coming your way, and we'll talk more about cold hardiness there. Finally, I have been watching a flock of crows that are hanging out at the end of my driveway on the very end of Blue Heron Drive, and there are probably 15 to 20 of them. My neighbor Marvin is throwing out a little corn for them, and they're having a good time eating that. And they go down to the end of the road there where they can find gravel, where the plow has turned up gravel, and they can get a little grist for their gizzards. There was a picture in Facebook this past week of a big flock of crows in Minneapolis, and I have witnessed this roost. It is along the Mississippi River and a bit north of downtown, and those birds, there might be hundreds of them. You see them just pouring into the area and setting up their nighttime resting areas. Why in big flocks? Well, and why in the city? The lights of the city help them to see the owls that might be out looking for them at night, and the big flocks kind of spread out the risk, so that if you're roosting with 50 or 100 crows, chances are, you know, one in 50 that you'll be the one that the owl catches. So it's kind of along those lines. Now, I once was walking through a copse of tightly planted white spruce that had not been thinned, and just wandering along in there, and all of a sudden I saw some black feathers on the snow, and I looked around. I thought, well, what's this, you know? And then my eyes kind of climbed the tree, and about 10 feet up in the tree I found the lower mandible of a crow, and more black feathers, and more black feathers up in the tree. And I realized that the crows had been using that little tightly packed copse of white spruce as a roosting spot, out of the wind, nice and warm, and tight, and tough for an owl to get in there. But the owl got in there and did his thing. And that's kind of why crows and owls have such a confrontational relationship. If you hear crows cawing and going on and on and on, why, they really are probably, they've probably found an owl that they can harass, and they do it gleefully because they know the owl will be back at night to eat some of them. We are at the end of January, and some of the things that you ought to look for in the next month: bald eagles will return to their nests and begin working on them. A skunk or two are going to come out. The male skunks come out for mating purposes. And of course, you know, if your legs were as long as a skunk's, you would walk on the roads and the sidewalks as well. And that is always risky and results oftentimes in a skunk getting hit by a car, in which case you have the smell of skunks. And I've had a couple of reports already of skunks being out, but February is really the month where they get out and start moving around. Woodpeckers, all of the woodpeckers are going to start drumming this month. Pussy willows will begin to come out, the earliest ones. Red osier dogwood and a lot of the non-pussy willow willows are going to start picking up color, and by the end of the month they're going to be quite colorful. In this area, snow buntings will probably begin to start moving back through as they head north. Horned larks in the western reaches, if you're out in Park Rapids or the west of Bemidji, in Bagley and out that way, you're probably going to see some horned larks in February. Crows will be coming back, although crows don't migrate as much as they used to. Chickadees singing their Phoebe songs, and the first couple of robins will start to show up. I had a fellow down in Aiken County send me a note about a robin in his area, and this time of year, these aren't migrators. They're just single robins that are kind of hanging out, hoping to be the first ones back on territory. February has a lot of things to watch for. Keep your eyes open, and when you see them, let us know. We love to hear from you.